This Aricha coffee that you're going to smell, strawberries, orange, caramel, chocolate in this coffee. These oils.
Joseph Brodsky, founder of 90 Plus Coffee, travels around the globe searching for the world's finest coffee beans.
As you taste this coffee, I'll never tire of it. Clean, smooth, caramel, berries, citrus. Right now it's lemon. In 10 minutes it will be orange.
Brodsky became hooked on Ethiopian coffee at a coffee tasting competition in Ethiopia's capital of Addis Ababa in 2005.
As soon as that coffee hit my nose, it was like a cacophony of, if there could be such a thing, of aroma in my brain. Our spines were tingling. This coffee was so crazy.
Brodsky was so taken with the coffee that he canceled his ticket home and scoured the farmlands of Ethiopia in search of other unique flavors. When he found a coffee he liked, he would work with local farmers and millers and train them in cultivation techniques to improve the quality of their raw coffee beans.
It's about coffee making that is on the level of Napa winemaking. The primary investments in these products need to be at the origin.
That investment has created distinct Ethiopian coffees prized around the world.
A roaster in Norway. He's got a little shop on the corner in Oslo where he brews this stuff, cold brews it now in a clover machine, chills it in wine bottles in a cooler, and serves it in wine glasses for $10 a cup. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. I mean, this is what you get when you go to a tiny, tiny place in Ethiopia's coffee landscape and refine the quality.
But last year, these unique coffees were threatened with extinction. In December 2008, the Ethiopian government required most coffee producers to sell their beans through Ethiopia's new commodity exchange, the ECX. Ethiopia's best beans are now mixed with other varieties and sold as broad regional blends.
2009, Aricha is gone now. It was produced, but now some lucky person somewhere in the world will buy that coffee and probably have no idea what it is. Could end up in Folgers, it could end up in Chock Full of Nuts. It was a $12 green coffee value for a roaster, a $5 plus value per cup for a consumer. Now this coffee is probably, at most, it's been traded for $1.60, $1.70 a pound. Nowhere near the return required to create a coffee like this, so it will simply die.
The government says that it moved coffee trading to the national exchange in order to reduce fraud and increase quality. But Wanwusen Meslekia, an Ethiopian agricultural economist based in Seattle, sees other motives at work.
Coffee is both a political and economic crop in Ethiopia. It's political because it generates over 50% of the country's foreign currency, and which the government relies on for its imports. Also, it's estimated that around 15 million people depend on this crop for their livelihood. So this is a very significant crop. Soon after the ECX launched, there was this global financial crisis. Just by that time, the government was also strapped of cash because its foreign currency reserve was at its lowest. So the main interest, the main reason why the government would like to control the coffee and force 100% of the coffees to be traded through ECX is mainly to ensure continued flow of foreign currency.
Meslekia says the government's entry into the coffee market has done more harm than good.
I believe the whole this government intervention has created enduring damage to the private sector in the coffee trade domestically, the farmers, and also exporters. Specialty coffee buyers and roasters are puzzled and in near panic over the exchange system. The loss of transparency and traceability is the biggest issue for these buyers. They need assurances that the bundle they want is the bundle they will get.
Rick Reinhardt, president of the Specialty Coffee Association of America, is talking with the ECX on behalf of specialty buyers to solve the problem of traceability.
Well, we've focused our energies today on just on working with ECX through a variety of different mechanisms to create this identification process for specialty coffee and making it and letting it qualify for alternative market mechanisms.
If Ethiopia's specialty coffees can be traced as they are traded through the ECX, Foreign buyers say those coffees could provide just the economic boost Ethiopia needs. Again, Ethiopian coffee lover and advocate Joseph Brodsky.
I absolutely believe that the ECX is a great move for the national economy of Ethiopia. The thing that is missing, you know, is the feather in the cap of Ethiopia. It's the main factor that differentiates it from a place like Brazil, which is the commodity king of the coffee world. It's all of these varieties that nobody knows anything about, that don't just sell for 10 cents more, but maybe sell for $10 more, or $20 or $30 more. This is a very large industry in the making. Even last year, it was on the order of millions of dollars for the economy, but it could be tens and twenties and hundreds of millions of dollars.
To learn more about Ethiopia's new commodity exchange, make sure to check out the wide-angle documentary, The Market Maker, on the Wide Angle website at pbs.org/wideangle.